This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, and it is a different starting lineup tonight. It's not a cup game. We're just rotating because Fulham, they have tremendous squad depth when it comes to the Fulhamish podcast. It is Jack Kelly, George Cooper and Dara Curran. Jack, normally, last time it was just me and you. We've added a few new additions. We've got a few transfers.
I was hoping it would just be us two again.
Yeah, but, I enjoyed it. I'm glad you said it because I'll echo that statement. It was a nice chat me and you had last time. But today we are strong. There is four of us in the studio. We're going to be looking at that Cheltenham game. Of course, the three-word reviews will be happening. We'll also be talking about the Fulhamish 200 live event. Lots of exciting stuff happening there. Then the biggest news of the night, we will be talking to Gordon Davies, the absolute Fulham legend that he is. Very excited for that chat. And then we'll be doing a little bit of the season so far, because it is that international break. And how do Fulham feel that they're doing going into the second one? Because Scott Parker said, well, it's come at the wrong time. You know, Fulham were really starting to hit their stride and they were just picking up some momentum. And maybe has it come at the wrong time? Only time will tell, but we will get into that. But we have to start with the Cheltenham game. It was 2-2. Fulham come back twice to deny Cheltenham, who in the last three games they've played Leeds, Swansea and Fulham. They've put in some good performances, but Fulham are at home. It's sides like this, in games like this, they should be winning if they're going to get that automatic top two or the playoffs. At least they sit just one place outside at the minute. Jack, there's no better place than to kick it off before I hear your three thoughts on it than the three-word reviews. What are they for the Cheltenham game?
I think I'm actually going to be taking up
George,
the three
George is doing
here, Charlie.
It. I apologise,
Charlie. You must have misread the prep sheet.
Well,
very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional. And I can just announce that because Fulham has such strong squad depth, I clearly will be denied making a new member. So there you go. George, please, the three-word review.
Right, okay. I take on the three-word reviews a little bit differently and I categorise them. So we're gonna start. I always like to finish on a high. So we're going to start with the negative ones, all right?
Okay.
Cool. So no booze discount. So that's a reference to our Fulhamish 200 podcast, which I believe the Old Suffolk Punch said that there would be a 10% booze discount if Fulham were to win.
It's actually
for each goal that they won by.
For each goal that they won by. Oh, that
so
was
if they
won
2-0, it'd be 20% discount. 3-0, 30%.
By three goals, two
that's
goals.
That's a great incentive. I mean, yeah, but I'm damned for that.
There was no booze discount. Quite a few people
that's why
pitched
I didn't
him
turn
in
up.
Yeah. So that was by Richard Bamber, but there was a host of other people that that also did that. Ban Away Drums by Sam Witcher. So yeah, Not Prem Quality by Jonjo Whitney. Lower Crosses Needed by Futa J. Entertaining but Frustrating by Jack and Loz. I think that could be applied to.
I think you've got a career in this, George. I can't believe I said it was Jack. Of course it was you.
More Points Dropped by It's Will Lyon. Another Blind Ref from Best of Fulham FC. So those are the negative ones. There was quite a lot about the keeper, the Charlton keeper. What was his name again? The name of this game?
Phillips.
Yeah, Phillips. Yeah. He had a fantastic performance. Pretty much denied us the 3 points. So
he's had an indifferent season as well. So unfortunate for the Fulham fans that he picks these games to really start on the weekend.
It's a very, very Fulhamish that, isn't it? The people hit their stride.
Fulhamish for
us.
Fulhamish.
Yeah, exactly. So Alahabsi in Disguise by Harry Riley. That Bloody Keeper by Gavin Megor. Sign That Keeper by Taylor FFC. Their Keeper, and then the symbol to signify greater than Alisson.
I appreciate the visual aid that you're giving us as
we
well.
We are on radio after all. Keeper, Drugs Test by Lewis A96. I was about to say 69 there, but they're 96. And then this is the wordsmiths category, when people have play on words and alliteration and so on.
Thanks for explaining that, George. Cheers, mate. I don't know what... I mean, no wonder they're different tonight, because there's no way Dom could have done that. There's no way he could have explained that.
Where is
at
Dom
all.
Tonight, by the way? Is he? Am I right in thinking that he's on the international break with England?
He is on the international break with England, but what's happened? Dom has seen that script. He's seen that he's got to explain wordsmith and alliteration. He thought, I'm not having no part of this tonight.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't love Fulham, does he? Hates Fulham.
Hates it.
Yeah. Addicts did to draws, so you know that Addicts, obviously. It was clever, that, isn't it?
What, was you playing Cheltenham that weekend?
Dan, that was from Dan Winter. Level Lunchtime Londoners by Colin Smith. Cottagers Can't Capitalise, and that was from Aaron Lamb. So yeah, that was the worst myth category. And now we're going to go for the positives. Sorry, it's going on a bit, isn't it?
No, I love it. I'm enjoying it.
Six match unbeaten, Dylan Simmel. Hard fought points by Kingsley. Plan B exists by Keith. A lot of people would say that Scott Park has no plan B. It turns out he does. So unlucky by Ibs 3-2-1. Charlton too athletic by David Ball. Another unbeaten game by Dickie Davis. Brilliant second half by Joey, you know. Still got this by Sammy Meredith, 87. I like that. Still got this. Believe in Bobby by Tammy Taylor. Hammy End crossbar by SW6FFC. And Please Score Bobby by SJ Baldwin, 93. So a lot of love for Bobby there. We're waiting to see him bag his first.
And that was the three-word reviews.
That was the three-word reviews.
I've got to admit, I'm gutted that I got it wrong, because Dom said to me earlier, he went, wait till you hear George do the three-word reviews. He went, he's so much better. And, you know, being, me and Dom are friends, I said, no, Dom, of course not. I've done that typical for anything. I went, no one can do him like you. And I was wrong. George, you absolutely smashed it.
Well, maybe if you love Fulham a bit more, he put a bit more effort in.
Yeah, he's not a fan, though, is he?
If there was an England three-word review, he'd be all over that.
Exactly.
The way dress.
You call yourself a Fulham fan, you can't make the Fulhamish podcast and you're going off to England. I don't know, guys. I know it's a strict membership code that you lot have, and there are many of you, but you need to review the rules. I'll do my own take on the three-word reviews, George. Did you know that?
Yeah, go.
Did you know it?
No, I didn't know it.
Well, then, have you been listening every Wednesday? So we can highlight Dom, but have you not been listening every... Do you not know
my take?
Of course
I have. I must have missed that. I must have been doing something at the same time.
I ask questions from the three-word reviews, the ones that I like, the one that I want to pick up, not
okay,
prem quality. Yes. Would you three agree with that? I turn it to you three. Jack, we'll start with you. Not prem quality.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is a championship fixture. And you look at Charlton so far this season, they've been fantastic. They've taken the momentum from promotion. I was actually at their League One playoff final, so I got a bit of a soft spot for Charlton. I was in the end when they won the playoff final. They've started fantastically, and even without Lyle Taylor, they managed to stifle us in the whole first half. And people will say we didn't play well in the first half. I think it's more of a case of Charlton played better. They understood they stuck to their game plan. They stifled us of any chances, and they got the goal on the break. We lacked like the prem quality, but we're not in the Premier League, so that's kind of irrelevant. I think that the second half we picked it up. Mitrovic, Kearney started to. Bobby Reid coming on was huge. He's changed the game. I just think Charlton deserve more credit because look, they're in and around the playoffs. The Championship table right now is extremely tight, and they did a very good job on us, Charlton.
Well, strong words there, but you know, you're being honest about Charlton's performance. Dara, not prem quality. What would you say?
I disagree. If you look at the goals, especially Caviero's goal, that was world class.
Yeah, it was.
I'd agree with Jack that I'd give Charlton a bit more credit, especially in the first half, because they pressed us really well and got in our faces, made it difficult. Mitrovic had a hard time all day. He really had to battle for anything. You could see the goal that he scored was just scrappy. He had a few headers over the bar. So, yeah, I'd give Charlton more credit than us really playing poorly in the first half. It wasn't great, obviously, but we really picked it up second half when Parker made the changes, and he's kind of showing that he's learning and growing as a manager, and he's able to make these decisions and turn games around.
Yeah, he's learning how to adapt. That was the next one I wanted to talk about. Plan B exists. He can adapt. He brought Fulham back into it. Twice they went behind, they come back. Was that a pleasing sign to take from that draw, George?
Yeah, absolutely. And as Dara said, Scott Park is learning, he's adapting. And I genuinely believe that the Fulham squad that we have at the moment beats the Fulham squad that we had last season. So whether or not it's Premier League quality, that remains to be seen. However, I feel like we're developing, and I personally am very excited to see the end product at the end of the season when we're firing on all cylinders.
Jack, what did you make of the game overall then? Because it was so frustrating. We're seeing, even in the three-word reviews, addicted to draws. You know, it's another draw. It is another draw, but it's another game you're also unbeaten, you know. Yeah. It just highlights how well what heights Fulham can reach when they're disappointed with a draw, because 3 points is what they expect every weekend. Yes, we have to give more credit to Charlton, but were you pleased with a point overall when Charlton did play that well?
They were 1-0 up at half time, and I said to my brother, I said, I'll take a point here, because Lee Bowyer and his game plan, they'll sit back, they'll definitely try and stop us from playing. And in the end, what's most frustrating is we get ourselves back in the game at 1-1 and then immediately concede again. And I mean, there was two or three opportunities to clear that ball, and Tim Ream didn't do a good enough job. The ball came back in, Bettinelli's off his line, bit of a disaster. But the three games we had this week in Wigan, Reading and Charlton, I was thinking, if we don't get nine, well, actually, it was a bit of an overreaction from the draw to Sheffield Wednesday, but I said we need to get nine to be back in this in the race for top two.
I think Dom said something similar, actually.
Yeah, and I think we did very well against Wigan. We got the job done. Very, very well against Reading, albeit they had 10 men. But this was the game I was slightly more wary about. I was slightly more concerned because obviously Charlton are up there. And I'm not surprised they took the lead. You know, when you play well in midweek, I've said this before, when you get a good result in the Championship, like we did against Millwall, the next game you don't perform to those levels again. You saw against Forest, you saw against Charlton.
Yeah, it does happen that way. It's not a hangover, but it is always hard to replicate that. But it is the home game, something of a little problem. West Brom coming back, going behind to Charlton, Forest getting that win. Is that a concern, Dara?
A little bit. I mean, I feel like we've dropped a lot of points this season where we probably should have won, especially the West Brom one, that one rings through.
Yeah.
I think possibly the away form needs to pick up a little bit more, if anything, because I think we've 8 points away from home, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, if we're going to be finishing the top two or three, then the away form is where we really need to pick it up.
Well, there's been some question marks hanging over Scott Parker. You know, guy on this show has said, you know, he's not the big question mark this season, but he's still that unknown quantity as a manager. Will we look back on the decision and see it was the right one? He said that this international break has come at the wrong time. We're finally starting to click. We're looking like the side. We know how we want to play now. We've really hit a rhythm. A Fulham fan seeing that, George, are you now feeling like, yeah, we've got a bit of identity now with Scott Parker. We know where we're heading. We know the direction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as I said a few moments ago, I feel like this squad is a work in progress. Mm. We're embedding in Fulham. As long as I can remember, we hit our stride after Christmas and we push on. The fact that we're playing this well this early in the season, and if you look at it on the grand scheme of things, I know you've got anomalies such as the Millwall game or what have you, but we are improving as a whole, generally, which is the right direction. And it would be concerning if we talk about the points we've dropped and what have you. However, with 3 points off the top, are we? Yeah. 3 points off the top. Mm. It would be concerning if, you know, we were getting cut adrift. That's when you've got to start panicking. But the fact that we're still in it, we're still in the mix, like, it's
so tight there at the moment. Like, yeah, there's 3 points between first and ninth place, mm, QPR. So, like, mm, any number of teams, I'm sure, like, in the next coming months, there's going to be a couple of teams that will break away. And as long as we're in that pack, then we're in good shape.
I think you're completely right for two reasons there. One, I know it's so early, so teams are going to be more closely knit, it's closely bunched, but in the Championship, I know it's a cliche, but everyone does beat anyone. You can get three wins on a bounce, then have two draws and a loss or two losses, but you're still right there. And one win, you say, oh, we're ninth, you could look at that as, we're mid-table, but one win and then you're at top. And no one really, because before it was, I heard a lot of Leeds and Swansea, they're the top two. Well, Leeds lost on the weekend to Millwall. No one's really taking control of the Championship, yeah, even if it is early days. Is that fair, Jack?
Yeah.
Hey, this is precisely why the Championship is better than the Premier League. Yeah.
There we go. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Put it out there.
Apparently, Dom is in the studio tonight. All Fulham fans, is this like a unanimous thing that the Championship... I'm actually a big fan of the Championship.
It's interesting because I banged the drum last season, and if you know me well, I hated the Premier League last season because we were in it and we were rubbish. But this season, the Premier League's been really exciting. There's so many good subplots that are going on. But no, the Championship, for me, is more exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a more exciting league. I think anyone can beat anyone, I think, when you watch it. But I know this whole, do you want to be in the Premier League? Obviously, yeah. George, you want to... This sounds like a ridiculous question.
I was talking about this with my mate, and my ultimate scenario would be...
It would be
that we get promoted via a playoff final, and then some sort of shady financing shenanigans with transfers means that we get points deducted and we have to go back into the Championship. So we get the high of the Premier of the playoff final win, but then we don't actually have to go into the Prem. That would be my ideal situation.
You're all a strange bunch. Well, you all believe it. Sorry, Jack. Go on.
But the thing is, we only say that now is because last season was such a disaster. Yeah. And generally, any Fulham fan who came into last season at the beginning of August would have predicted us to finish mid-table. Do what Wolves have done and kicked on. Exactly. Mm. Everyone, because of the players we signed, the money we spent. Because we had such a disastrous season, everyone then turned their backs on the Premier League. And it didn't help with the contributions of like the Liverpool game and the United game where there were home away fans in the home end. And it just made it such an unenjoyable experience. Mm. But if we get back into the Premier League, cut those errors out, buy better, be better, and will enjoy the experience more.
I do think there's a point there. I think that if we were to go up this year, the transfer, you know, Tony Khan and the like have learnt. And I think that in the recruitment, I mean, we've seen the recruitment this season. It's leaps and bounds on what it was last season. So I feel like if we did get up, I mean, touch wood and what have you, but we'd be in
touch wood, no point deduction.
We'd be in a lot better place. So I'm being a bit glib and tongue in cheek, but obviously you want to see your team in the
press. No, you're giving your opinion. And you know what? I think there's validation in both points, because I think from a fan experience, the Championship is better. You know, the grands and watching your team is such a fun and exciting league. But obviously, you want your team to be in a Premier League. You want to watch those teams. You want to play against the best. But it's not fun when it's not going well. And you know, we've seen the money that's sort of diluted the game. It's not become great. I understand the point from the Championship, but George, you can't go up in the playoff final and then wish for points upon your team. This is not quite how it works. Quite a strange. Go on, Jack.
I mean, let me give two examples. You got Leicester, who came up in, I want to say they came up in 13-14. So when we went down, they went up. Now they have won a league. They've been in the Champions League and they're now again pushing for Champions League football. You look at Wolves, who've come up and are now in the Europa League. It is doable if you spend right and you have the right players and the right ethos. We've just got to follow what we did in 2010.
Actually, I want to talk about that, because the Aston Villa chairman, he said they questioned all of their buying this summer. You know, oh, you know, look what happened to Fulham last year. And he said, well, you know what? Fulham done the right thing, because if we do go down, as in terms of Aston Villa, we've then got assets to sell so we can have a transfer budget and we'll be all right. We can sell these assets back. So why wouldn't we to try? Do you feel like people have been quite hard on Fulham, and that's what, obviously, because people go, oh, don't do the Fulham way. I hear this all the time for newly promoted sides. So would you please to hear those comments?
I guess I can understand it from us, but it's only, you can only say those things in hindsight. So basically, if you do go down, then you're like, oh, suddenly we've got all these players we can sell because they won't want to play in the Championship. But ultimately, you're going to buy players to keep yourself in the division. And Villa have spent a lot, but only after Saturday with their 5-1 against Norwich are they showing the capable team that they could be. I don't see Villa maybe staying up.
And also your value drop if you have a terrible season, and then you know the club's looking to offload. The value of those players has dropped. It's a silly business model, is what it is.
A silly business model, George.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're buying to go down. They're obviously buying to stay up. That was like the big difference from the first season that we went down. We had our assets had been stripped from like the previous three seasons. We had nothing. We didn't have anyone to sell, and so this season we were able to get players out and get the right players in.
Well, it's been a packed action first 20 minutes. We've done the free world reviews, Chol, and then we went off to Aston Villa, spending life in the Championship, points getting deducted after the playoff final. It's all gone a bit mad. But up next is the Fulhamish 200 Live.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, George Cooper, Jack Kelly and Dara Curran. We were just doing the free word reviews there. We went off into a tangent, Jack said. We spoke a little bit, and not a lot about Fulham, quite a lot about Aston Villa, quite a lot about budgets. Yeah, everything where this show can take you. That's what we do on the Fulham Fan Show. But now, though, something that is Fulham, very excited to talk about, the Fulhamish 200 live event. Jack, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yep, so it was an event obviously put on by the podcast to celebrate the 200th recording, which we did live from the old Suffolk Punch.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah. That is some celebration. Well done,
George. It was a good event. We had a club commentator, Gentleman Jim, in the first part. And then the second part was special guests for Barry Hales and Sean Davis, former Fulham players, of course, before my time of supporting Fulham. But I'm sure everyone really enjoyed the occasion.
I loved Sean Davis and Barry Hales.
It was a great turnout. It was a terrific turnout. Really interesting stories, which I'm sure we'll hear in a second. So basically, there's a couple of clips here from the event, starting with Ben Jarman's opinion on Stefan Johansson of the Charlton game.
I mean, Ben, what is there any changes from today's game, any lessons learned that we should take into what is a tough little section of fixtures post-international break? You've got that Stoke defeat away at the Bet365, and then you've got the Luton game midweek, and then a long trip to Borough, which ordinarily actually would be a tough game, but they're lacking confidence under Jonathan Woodgate. But it's not an easy run of fixtures by any stretch. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that Scott can take from today's game? And that's what we've discussed over the last few weeks. He is learning all the time and really adapting some of his managerial decisions based on what he takes from each game to game, which actually I really enjoy seeing.
Actually, I think there is probably two weak points today. One of them we talked about, Steven Sessegnon. I think the second one was Stephan Johansson. And as much as it pains me to say it, I think his performance today was clearly subpar. He pulled way too far to the left in the first half. He was, come on. All of you, come on. He was way too far to the left. He was on Knockhart's toes. He was too slow on the ball, you're completely correct, and he was too far up forward, which when Charlton decided that they grew into the game, they took advantage of that. And they really did. That's where all of their passing came from. It was in the gap that Johansson had left. And I love Johansson, all of you know this because you've listened to me. But today, he was probably one of our worst players on the pitch. I'm sorry, all of you. See, Sammy can buy you all a pint to say sorry. But
that's a lesson. When you say something controversial on the podcast, that's what like.
Now I know how Don Betts feels.
That's what. That's what everyone's doing on their train or in their car, going boom. Yeah.
Now I know how Don Betts feels. Absolute classic line. I took all of that, but that was a brilliant introduction for Dom there. But that was such a good clip. I want to quickly talk back for Flemish 200 and the live event before we hear the second clip, because to do 200 episodes of a podcast and then to obviously build that up over time that enables you to do a live event, how pleased are all of you? Is it like a pinch yourself moment when you feel like, how far has this podcast come?
Really? It's incredible. And I tell you, just from my experience, when they first started the podcast, I wasn't a part of it. I was a massive fanboy of the podcast, and it was at Ipswich away in our promotion season. I actually I met Sammy for like the first time, had a few drinks, and was talking to him about my interest in like radio and stuff. And it was only when we played Barnsley in January of the season we went up that he came up to me and said, "Would you like to take over the Snapchat?" And I kind of did it in like a vlog style, kind of changed it up to what the previous person was doing. He loved it, and then he wanted me on board to do fan cams for the Premier League season. And it just so happened that there was some great opportunities that came with the Premier League and with some media outlets, and it was really good fun. But give credit where credit's due. Obviously, the four who started, Sammy, Jack, Ben, Farrell, done a marvellous job. And now we're a team of like 22, 23.
It's incredible.
Dom as well, sorry. Yeah. Dom from the start as well, of course.
You've got nearly a full World Cup squad.
Yeah, the group chat is just getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. And we've obviously got Lydia and Joe, who just came as our new recruits. It's been an absolute blast, and I'm so privileged to be a part of it.
Nice. Congratulations to you all.
Second that. I mean, myself and Dara, we started this season, didn't we? We joined with new joiners. It's just such a great group of lads. And the thing that I think stands us out is that there's so many diverse opinions, and people aren't afraid to give them. You know, it's not just the same old punditry, you know.
It's exactly what you want, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a mixed bag. And I mean, I've never done 200 of anything in my life, I don't think. So the fact that these guys have managed to churn out 200 podcasts, yeah, very privileged to be a part of it.
It is just 200 podcasts, you know, a team of 22, a live event, you know. It is incredible. Congratulations to you all. I mean, and the interviews you've had, you know, I know we're speaking to Gordon Davies later, but then, you know, Tony Khan as well. It's incredible.
We've had Tony Khan, we've had Brett Hangland, I interviewed Tom Kearney and Slavisa Kanovic. So we really have grown and got on the radar of most Fulham fans, and the protest as well with the Man City game. The whole Hammers event was singing Stop the Greed. So we have made a difference, and that's only a positive. Like, we don't want to bring any animosity. We just want to bring positive vibes, and I think we've done such a great job.
Yeah, I completely agree. Jack, what is the second audio from the live event?
Yep, so this is a story that Barry Hales and Sean Davis both told about the Tigana era, where they snuck off from going to watch a game of football, and they went across to watch the game in the pub instead of the stadium. And this is what happened.
I've not really said this story that much, but we played Blackburn away. Obviously, great result. All the boys are on a high. Get on the coach. There's no beers or anything on the coach because Tigana hated us drinking. And we were playing Huddersfield, I think, 3 days, 4 days later. Was it 3 days later? So the following day, I think Bolton were playing at home against someone. And the manager said to us, "Oh, who wants to go to the game?" So all the lads was like, "Yeah, we'll go to the game." So we got on the coach. We went to Bolton. And then we had this box. So we got in the box and about 10 or 11 of us in the box. And I think it was Baz turned to me and went, "No, they're not selling
it." It was your idea.
There's no alcohol. I went, "Oh, let's go to the pub across the road." So we went to the pub across the road and obviously had a few drinks, celebrating. Didn't get carried away.
We did.
I got it. But then we were watching the game, the actual Bolton game, on the Sky TV in the pub. And then while the game's playing, they zoom in to the box with all the Fulham players. We don't think anything of it. We get back to the hotel and Tigana's like, got his toothpick in. He goes through the door and then he says hello to everyone and he pulled me and Barry went, "Oh, I didn't see you in the box. Where were you two? Like, where were you?" We were like, well, trying not to breathe on him because we smell like... And then luckily enough, we both were subbed for the Huddersfield game, so we got away with that, but it's all in history. If Tigana knew we were in the pub, he would have absolutely
crucified
us. So yeah, that was an old senior player dragging on a young player, so I just blame Barry.
What an absolute blinder of a story. It's anecdotes like that from players. It's at all clubs. Mm. I love them. You know, they always involve drinking and going to the pub and training. I reckon Tigana knew. What do you think? I reckon he knew.
Might have had a suspicion.
Of course he knew.
Yeah, but players are human, you know?
Yeah, they are. What an incredible event and incredible two clips from them. But please check out the Fulhamish podcast. I'm already sure you're aware of it. It's why you're listening to this show. Next, though, we go even better. We get to speak all-time leading goal scorer Gordon Davies.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show with a Fulhamish podcast. 200 podcasts, only getting stronger. George Cooper, Jack Kelly and Dara Curran. And you're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. But now it is time for the all-time leading scorer, Fulham legend Gordon Davies. Gordon, a real pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. What have you made of Fulham's start to the season so far?
Well, I suppose against all the odds and supporters saying on Facebook that Scott Parker should go when he hasn't got a plan B and some of the players are not good enough at this level, to find ourselves 3 points off the top of the division. Really, we haven't started great. 3 points off top at this moment in time after 11 games. I'm quite happy with the way things have gone and you can see improvements. In individuals, you can see improvements in the team performances. So at this moment in time, I'm quite happy with the way things have gone so far.
Good stuff. So, God, I guess I wanted to ask you, what areas do you think that we need to improve if we are going to push on for the rest of the season and get automatic promotion or hit the playoff spots? Where do you think we're lacking at the moment?
Well, you look at the front three, and everybody has said we've probably got the best front three in the in the division, but Cavaliero is going through a little bit of a lean patch, and then he scores an absolutely scorcher of a goal.
Yeah.
But we're not getting a 90-minute performance from him. I think it's good what Scott has done by sometimes taking him off and putting Decadover Reed in, because he is quality going forward. And if you look at last week's game, we had a hell of a lot more shots on target and not at goal, we're better in the final third when he is playing. And I think if he plays on the left, he's got a good understanding with Joe Bryan, and I think we'd get the best out of both of those at present. Obviously, from a team performance, Bettinelli has had some stick for certain goals that he's allowed in, but to be perfectly honest with you, it was only 18 months ago, that he was in the England squad. So I don't think he's going to become a bad goalkeeper overnight. I just think you look at the back four, people are saying we need a right back. But I think with Cesc coming in, I think, yes, he is going to make mistakes. He's a young kid. He's learning the game. But he can come in and do well for us at right back. O'Doye is a backup to him at right back. I think people are concerned about the centre-back position. Have we got enough quality or cover in the centre-back position if Ream or Mawson sort of get injured? I know O'Doye can go back in there. But it's, as far as a squad is concerned, to be perfectly honest with you, I think we've got a better squad now than when we got promoted. And it's certainly a better squad than we had in the Premier League. So I don't think we really need to go out to improve the squad, apart from perhaps getting a quality centre-half who's got pace. And in that position, we've obviously got Michael Hector, who's going to be with us, or training with us now, but available from January. So we've just got to wait and see whether he gets given a chance. And if he comes in and has a partnership with one of the two that I've mentioned, then I think that squad of players is good enough, to be perfectly honest with you, to get us a minimum of top six. But I've already been on record as saying I think we'll finish in the top two.
Yeah, definitely. I think we can definitely push that. Alexander Mitrovic, of course, a lot was said about him over the summer. Would he stay? Would he go? He stayed, and he's top goal scorer. How surprised were you that he stayed for the Championship and now he is performing to the levels that we did expect from him?
Well, it was funny. Someone did ask me at the end of last season, and I said that I think Tom Kearney and Mitrovic would sign. And it was only rumours. I didn't hear anything. I didn't speak to any of the directors about it. But I think it was a massive coup for the club to get both of them to sign longer-term contracts, because I think that enabled us to get people like Knockhart and Cavaliero in, and Reed, or the two Reeds, because if you keep your best players, then it puts a message out there that we are ready to take on the Championship for this season. And I was a bit disappointed with him in the last game where he appealed for a penalty. He's one of the strongest centre-forwards about, that loves the physicality of it and holds centre-halves off. And then when the centre-half had a little tug of him, literally about 12 yards out from goal, instead of him really making the effort to get away from that centre-half and make the contact or the pulling of the shirt a lot more obvious for the referee, I think we could have had a penalty, and I think we would have gone on to have beaten Charlton. But yeah, it was a massive coup, and to be perfectly honest with you, I think he finds scoring goals easy at this level, but as a team, we have got to give him more chances during the game. I think when he does, we provide four, five, six chances for him, the likelihood is he's going to put two or three of them away. But what we're giving him are bits and pieces, apart from the Reading game, obviously, but we're giving him bits and pieces to fight for. And every goal he's getting, he's got to fight for the right to get on the score sheet. So for him, I think he's a fantastic player for us. And he'll certainly end up top goal scorer this year. Whether he'll get 20 or not, we'll have to wait and see. But if he gets 20, we'll certainly be right up there in that top two, top four.
Good stuff, Gordon. And now I'm well aware that I'm talking to the greatest forwards in Fulham's history. And as that accolade, I just wanted to ask, what are the characteristics of Alexander Mitrovic that set him apart from everyone else at this level? And do you think that he has what it takes to beat your record of 176 goals?
If he beats 176, he'll still be one behind me, because I've got 178.
Oh, 178.
I've already put down, with you being Fulham supporters, I do a column in the programme, and somebody asked me about it, and I said, well, I'm going to be penciling in the season 24-25, I think, which would put him somewhere round about my goal scoring record level. So the record will be broken, to be perfectly honest with you. It'll only be a matter of time, but it will be broken at some point. And you look at Mitrovic, I think he would have been absolutely deadly if he was a bit more mobile. Mm. The one thing that he lacks is pace, and that is why you've got to give him the chances inside the box. He's not going to run away from defenders 20, 30 yards from goal, and he's unlikely to get on a through ball, which now that we've got Kearney playing further forward and Decadova Reed coming in, we have now got runners going past him, which is what we've lacked for a good 12 months. So I think, but when you look at him and compare him to other centre forwards, as I said earlier, he likes the physicality. He likes a bit of a scrap up there, and he holds the ball up magnificently. He does do a hell of a lot of work coming out wide and going into corners, and because he's the only one up there, I think if we got somebody closer to him, it would cut down his work rate outside the box and perhaps give him that little bit extra sort of either confidence or speed or agility in the box when the ball comes in. But there's certainly, I don't think, anybody to touch him as far as an out-and-out target man in this division at present, who absolutely works his socks off, and he's a credit to himself and the club by the way that he puts a shift in every game, even when he's only getting one or two scrappy chances a game. You can see him getting sometimes upset with himself and with other players, but I think that's only because what he wants to do most of all is score goals, and you've just got to, as they used to say with few other people, centre forwards, you just got to feed him. You got to feed the Mitro and let him score.
Just sticking with Mitrovic at the moment, he is probably the only recognised out-and-out striker that we do have at the club. How do you reckon that we'd fare if he were to pick up an injury? And do you see any attributes in the other squad players that we have that might be able to fill in a role?
Well, I think we'd certainly have to change our style of play if he did pick up an injury, and I think that is one thing that we've all been worried about, to be perfectly honest with you. Every time he goes down, you wonder, is that going to be the end of this game, or is it going to be a 5 or 6 week stretch if he just twists his ankle? So it is one of those positions that, yes, we have got other players that can play up there. You can put Reed up there because he's played up front, not obviously by himself when he was at Bristol City, but it's one of those areas where I think you've then got to have a look sort of through the squad that we've got. We've got the young lad who came across from Chelsea, who's only a young lad. I can't remember his name at the moment. But
Taylor Crossdale, is that the one?
Yeah, when I saw the interview when he came over to Fulham, he was saying all the right things. He was saying that he thinks that he would have more of a chance of sort of pushing into the first team squad here than he was at Chelsea. He wants to play on the shoulder of the last defender because he likes running in behind, which is, as I mentioned earlier, is something that we haven't had, mm-hmm. and it would be a slightly change of play from the not only the back four but certainly the midfield players, because if Mitrovic goes and we give him a chance, he's going to want to run in behind. So you've got to then start playing the ball between centre-halves and full-backs for him to run onto. And you've got to get, if he's quick, you've got to get support a lot closer to him than Mitrovic at present. So I think that would be one area that we may struggle because we haven't got the ideal replacement. But there are, I would think, one or two options that we could play. And to be perfectly honest, you could probably move one of the wide lads in there, to be perfectly honest with you, and just play with a front three. But the service then and the way that we play, yes, we can keep the ball, we can play through midfield, but when we are looking for the ball into the centre forward, I think you're going to be more one touch lay off and spin into the channels, or you're going to be playing the balls down the channels for quicker lads to get onto. But if we are up there or thereabouts and we need a replacement for anybody in January, then I think it probably would be a centre forward as cover for Mitrovic, not to replace him, just as cover. But we do have one or two options with the players that we do have in the squad if he gets injured, and hopefully he doesn't.
Such a delight to talk to you tonight, Gordon. Always a pleasure when you're on. To have you on, it's an honour for us, and it's always insightful. Gordon Davies there, the all-time Fulham goal scorer. What a pleasure to have him on. Next, though, we'll be talking about that international break and a certain fan award.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, Jack Kelly, Dara Curran. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yes, come on. I want to apologise for that slip up. I was just really nervous because Gordon was on and we couldn't even decide what his surname was, Davies or Davis, and he's the Fulham all-time leading goal scorer.
Davies.
So if that... Let's quickly pull George up because he got it wrong and he's Fulham's all-time leading goal scorer.
I will not have it.
And
you
we
just
are with
misheard
George
me.
Cooper. Convenient there. Well, we are talking about
Fulham. Don't want that on record.
Again, factual and true. We're going into the second international... If I can own up about... You know, come on, you can. We're talking about the second international break. Scott Parker said it's come at the wrong time. Jack, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I know what he means, but you know what? We've had five games. We've been unbeaten within those five games since the last international break. So the only thing I'm worried about is Stoke. We were just discussing before the show. Stoke won their last game against Swansea. Then we play them next. Yeah, so the momentum that Nathan Jones and his squad will have going into that game against us. And this is the kind of ground where we haven't played since we got relegated. We might just go into our shell a bit. We might get dominated. We might get bullied. And I'm quite fearful. But if we play our game, if we keep the ball well, we stifle Stoke, then I'm more than confident that we can come away with 3 points at least. Not at least, but 3 points.
Dara, do you feel the same?
Yeah, I think we'll get the win. I mean, it looks like the man Nathan Jones is still going to be there, obviously, because if he were to go, it would be at the start of the international break. So it looks like he'll still be there. I think they're just... our forwards will just be too good for them. We might concede, but I think we should edge it.
George?
That's a good question, Charlie. I reckon...
So sarcastic.
Yeah,
it was a good question. Because Scott Parker said it's come at a terrible time. This is the second international break. How are Fulham feeling, George?
I feel like we're going to win. I think Stoke are pretty poor. They've been terrible this year. They've changed their formation, chops and chains. They've had keepers come in. How many keepers have they been? Is it two or three?
Just two.
Federici and Butland.
Butland's been woeful.
Yeah, a catalogue of errors. It would be very, very Fulhamish for us to get turned over, but I feel like we should edge it.
What's frustrating me so much this season is that...
Well, I'm a bit scared, Jack. That was a strong passion. Whoa!
It's because there's no standout team. You look at Leeds and you go, Bielsa, they should go up, and they should, yeah? But we need to grab this league by the scruff of the neck and go, look at the players we have. Look at the players we have going forward. It should scare defenders. And, yeah, we've drawn four, lost two. We've only lost two this season. Barnsley was a one-off, you know, opening day.
Now
their
manager's gone.
Yeah, yeah. And Stendhal's gone because they've been on poor form. They haven't won since. So I mean, you could be frustrated. But my point is that this league is for the taking. There are nine QPR. Very, very good teams. And then you've got the likes of Brentford behind as well, who could sneak in. Derby are down there as well. But we need to capitalise. The teams aren't as good as we are making out. You know, we went to Reading. I was slightly worried about that, but then we absolutely thrashed them. I just think that Fulham, the squad we have, the Arta, Kearney, Johansson, Caviero, Knockart, Mitrovic, we should be winning this league. We really should be, but there's just defensive errors. There's little things that just don't click. We don't play well in first halves of games. We have to pick up the pace because we need to start getting points. We need to start dominating the league.
Daryl, would you agree with that? Because many other fans are saying this year the Championship, it's known for its quality, it's a strong league, but this year, not really. It's not been how it has been in previous seasons. Has Jack got a point there?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You had Wolves last year and then Newcastle the previous year who were miles ahead and then almost threw it away at the end. Doesn't seem to be anybody, as you say, grabbing by the scruff of the neck. So, I mean, I keep on thinking, like, every time we've drawn silly games that we probably should be getting more from, I keep thinking, oh, we're going to be way behind. And if you look at it, that we're still in it now, or you can look at it like we could have been out on our own. But I think we really need to kick on. We've got a couple of more games coming up, and we need 3 points in the next three or four.
But it's still early days. Anyone can go on a run. You know, you can even go on a run from Christmas and get into the top two. That's all it takes. Jules, like you said, there's not panic stations yet, you know, because four or five wins, three wins on the bounce, and you're right up there.
Yeah, 3 points off the top. We'll kick on and I think we'll run away with it, to be honest.
Really? I think once we get into first place, we're not going to let it slip. No, I don't think.
And I don't think Fulham have got into first gear, let alone first place. When we see them perform, because we talk about this Millwall and Reading Freshing, I don't think they needed to get out of second gear to beat those teams.
No, we were handed gifts in those games because Millwall were just extremely poor and offered nothing going forward, which just helped us. All they had to do was try and defend and we could just run rings around them. Caballero showed that. And with Reading, they got a red card, so they made our lives so much more easy. So the only thing I'm worried about is, like, we've got trips like Preston coming up in December. Birmingham's always a bit of a banana skin, so we've really got to push past this mental barrier and get the wins at places we haven't before, starting with Stoke.
Let's quickly, before we end, talk about the award that you wanted to mention. We didn't get a chance earlier. Dara, can you tell us a little bit more?
The FSA Awards were, if you like the Fulhamish podcast and everything you hear and you want to vote for us, you can vote for us for the Club Pod of the Year.
Where can we vote? Where can we help out?
There's a link on the Fulham Twitter page. We can probably retweet it again, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it's pinned. It might be pinned.
Yeah. It's two or three down, but we can pop it back up.
Perfect. Well, let's try to get a bit of support out. Let's get over the line. Let's win that. When does the voting close?
I'm actually not sure.
Look at you.
It's only recently opened.
There we go.
Woefully underprepared.
George, you're on fire tonight. Mate, honestly, we're going to review your membership. Fulham could be down to 21. If they want to go to 22, I'm available. I can't get people's names right, but I'm available. But George can't get either, so maybe we can have like a Fulham tie-off. We'll see who does three-word reviews better. You do three-word reviews. I keep saying to Dom, I want to do three-word previews. I think there's got some legs in that. Yeah. Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show tonight, and you can join the Fulhamish Boys every Wednesday, 9 to 10. It is international break. Next week, they'll be back at Stoke, but we will be here, as always, at Love Sport to talk all about it.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.